Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Atomic Heart Spoiler Cast Review from Gigaboots. I'm your host, Dan Video Games, and with me is Bob.
Soggy Salamanders.
From Gigaboots, Dr. Agro.
Rascally Rabbits.
And Chris Wolfhard.
Fried Felines.
We're here to talk about the stunning new Bioshock-like Atomic Heart game, the first-person shooter that just came out on next-gen consoles and PC. Oh, wait, that is on last-gen.
It is.
Bob, you even played the Xbox One X version, didn't you?
I sure did.
Anyways, for people who've never listened to one of these before, what we're going to do is at the beginning, we're going to do a couple sentences kind of summarizing exactly how we feel about the game, then making a sound instead of it giving a number out of 10. Then we're going to do our in-depth discussion of the game, talking about the plot, the mechanics, etc., random musings from us. And then at the end, we're going to give it the total summary and a score out of 10 from each of us. Kind of Famitsu style, maximum score of 40. Let's go ahead and begin with Dr. Agro. Dr. Agro, give me your couple sentences and a sound.
Atomic Heart is an incredibly ambitious first swing from a new studio that ends up a bizarre grab bag of good and bad things.
Chris Wolfhart.
You know how everybody has a meal that they like that maybe isn't necessarily good, but it's something their parents made when they were 12. Even if it's covered in really processed cheese and maybe they didn't make the meatballs exactly right, it's still comforting in some ways. Atomic Heart is like the video game equivalent of that, so I'm going to give it a
Bob Video Games.
Atomic Heart has like a fascinating world and really good music and some fun dialogue. Unfortunately, you have to play it. I'm going to give it a
Atomic Heart is at a surface level, a very charming, engaging person to hang out with, but then they ask you to do a lot of really unfun shit and they get you arrested. I'm going to give it a And with that out of the way, let's get into it. I want to make sure the first thing people hear out of my mouth is, there are various elements of this game that fire at a much higher level than you would expect, like, say, visuals, world building, etc. But single-handedly, the most outstanding aspect of this game that almost doesn't fit with the rest of it is the soundtrack, where it just hits hard. It is such an incredible, like, you know, they have three different composers. One of them is Mick Gordon. And you just get into a battle and the music's like, congratulations, Doomslayer. You are here to save. And I'm like, no, it's not this cool. If you could maybe tamper this even slightly.
Dial it back a little bit.
Just a little, because this melee is real rough.
And then sometimes one scrub gets stuck in a piece of geometry somewhere in a multi-floor battle. And you can't find it. So you just get to run up and down some stairs, kind of rocking out to Mick Gordon for a while looking for it.
It's pretty good. Then you find out he apparently got stuck on a bench, like a mall bench. He's just his foot shoved in it and he's not getting loose. It really is fantastic. I think if you're never going to check out this game, maybe just check out the soundtrack by itself. I hope that's on streaming platforms, because it is, much like the world building and the character writing in this, the most, if the rest of this weren't here, I could enjoy you by yourself aspect of this game, because there are elements of the writing that maybe aren't as fantastic. But the original pieces of work in Atomic Heart, musically speaking, are fantastic. And additionally, I feel like this might be the only moment I've had like this remotely recently. There were classical music pieces used in ways that were delightfully funny, like ironically contrasting, where it's like, I can't remember which song it was, but it's this beautiful, beautiful song that's playing as spores fall down from the ceiling to possess dead bodies and make them charge at you. And I'm like, this is a great moment. This game should be nothing but this level of contrast and then the cool moments the whole way through. And unfortunately, there's this horrible incongruous game that is most of the game, where it's, instead of being a joy of contrasts, it really is a misfitting jigsaw puzzle that is two halves of two different jigsaw puzzles that never quite mesh together. I feel like the combat doesn't fire at a level it needs to. The upgrade system doesn't really play out in a way that feels natural to some extent because of the blueprint system and how different elements require you to do different sorts of things. Like, what was it? The weapon blueprints randomly drop, but the specific upgrades you have to travel in the world's least open world.
Yeah.
To go to different facilities. Yeah.
In the fucking national park you're in.
The upgrading system is really, it's emblematic of everything with this game, where like, this would be really cool if it wasn't connected to this other thing that really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to have to go search out a dungeon in this pseudo open world to just get a better reload for my pistol.
I don't know why, but the mental image I get of trying to form some sort of metaphor out of how this game feels to engage with is, did you ever see that possibly fake but also possibly real Amazon listing for a double male power cable?
Oh my God.
Yes.
That's kind of what it felt like. This is
you really need to commit insurance fraud.
This is the only game I think we've ever reviewed on the channel, and I turned the difficulty down because there is zero enjoyability to be found through the raw mechanics of the combat.
Yeah, it literally does nothing except makes you deal more damage and take less damage. That's all changing the difficulty does. It does literally nothing else.
Mm-hmm. So when we come across these things where a lot of enemies are very bullet spongy and stuff, you know, oftentimes it's shorthand, like no one wants to specifically articulate, but we'll collectively say things like it has twice as much health as it should have. So imagine my literal shock and having to brace myself as in the middle of a boss fight. I can't remember the name of the specific mecha I was fighting, but in the middle of a boss fight, I set the difficulty to the lower difficulty. I hit the boss once and its health bar drops to literally half and then goes down the one notch for the hit I just did. And I go, holy shit, it actually is twice as much health.
Oh my God.
That's wow. The way it feels.
Yeah, I was flabbergasted. I never once played a game where it was literally just, 1 second. Yeah, that's the total difference between these modes. There you go. It's half now.
Yeah, like the first part of the game, it really seemed like it was going to be more every enemy you meet is a powerful enemy. So you need to, you know, be on your shit and plan how this fight's going to go and conserve your ammo. And then it started throwing like regular rooms of enemies at you, like for a shooter.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, some of the math isn't adding up here.
Yeah, I genuinely spent part of it going, this would make a really cool horror game. Wait, it kind of was a horror game. And then it started throwing roomfuls of them at me in a way that seemed like a normal fucking shooter.
Which, fuck those mustache guys.
I love the mustache guys being attacked by, like, the 70s gay porn robots the whole game is delightful. Because especially the way they just haul ass towards you.
Mm-hmm. Their design is great, but this game does a thing where three of them will stunlock you to death and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Like, they will put you against a wall and they will do the ballerina move and knock you over. And yeah, man, guys, not being able to control my character for 3 seconds is not fun.
No, I also ended up in that situation very often where even two of them could easily just chain me until I was dead.
Your collision box is really big compared to other games. So if you're standing too close to a wall and enemies come at you, you can get corner stunned really easy.
Mm-hmm.
And every enemy being able to knock you over is not great.
Yeah, every time I walked backwards, I always worried about just being completely locked in place and due to some geometry I can't see.
Right, yeah. Because there is a lot of collision problems with geometry on the ground. And frankly, these enemies can do this sort of nonstop chaining, even if there's only one wall next to you. So if you only have one direction cut off, it is very easily possible.
Yeah, even regular enemies can also lock you in a QTE mode, which takes time and looks bad every time they do it.
The most extraordinary one of those, I believe, was the red melee-only enemy.
Yeah, he is the worst.
It's something like a 20-second QTE.
Yeah, it's insane. Well, it's a boss, but it has to be difficult, even though they didn't fill an entire highway with them that I guess they expect you to drive down, and I'm like, no, I won't be doing that. I'll just be running and not looking back at all.
Unless your car hits an enemy and catapults 30 feet into the air.
I got in a car once, drove 100 feet, went, no. And then never got in a car again.
I tried to make the car work multiple times. I tried to make many aspects of this game work multiple times, and I was punished for this hubris.
That bridge hard crashed on me twice.
That's not surprising. I had some of my funniest moments in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the car will start burning, and that's how you don't need to get out because it's going to explode.
Mm-hmm.
But then he does the longest animation known to man to get out of the car, and him shutting the door at the end of it always times up with the car exploding, and I just die laughing.
They literally timed that out, it feels like, because it's happened to me multiple times, and I'm like, I can't keep doing this game.
Yeah, and then it's like, well, we don't checkpoint you, you're in the open world, so we loaded some things from 10 to 15 minutes ago. I'm like, I'd rather just die.
Yeah, I had that happen not only because of a difficulty spike with one specific moment where you traveled the open world, but also because of the next moment then trapping me in the geometry in the floor, which I brought this up on a big thing to mention the weekly gaming news podcast we do. But I got trapped in the floor 8 times. It's the worst it's been in so long. Then it felt weird to be back there again.
Yeah.
Sounds like a PC issue.
I ran the same thing on Xbox. I didn't do it nearly as much as Dan, but you can just...
Yeah, I also had it.
It's really obvious the collision box of your character is just wrong. Like, it doesn't interact with anything right. And they ask you the platform in this game.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, God, it's like the three components of this game are combat, that's bad, platforming, that's worse, and puzzles, that's good sometimes.
It's so funny when they're having you jump between, like, the yellow-painted rafters you can hang on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the game's just like, no, you idiot, he wasn't directly staring at the fucking rafter, so he's not gonna grab it. He's just going to fall to his death.
All right, I'm on the rafter, and I want to look left to the platform I'm going to jump at. Oh, my arm didn't reach out. Better move the camera back to the wall and look left. Nope, didn't work. Move the camera back to the wall. Look left. There we go. His hands out. Time to jump.
Yep.
I did some of the optional dungeons, so it blurs together with the normal shit. Is that thing where you're grabbing the battery with telekinesis while doing platforming in the main game? Like, you have to do it? There's like you like hit buttons to swing things out on cranes and then you have to platform across them?
No, I think that's just in, like, because I did that in Testing Ground 8, which is the only one I did.
Because
I couldn't get back in that car to drive back across the island to go to any of the other ones, even though that was probably, like, I really liked the testing ground. I wanted to do the others. I wasn't using this map and this car to get to them.
I did 3 of the testing grounds. They kind of run out of stuff.
Really?
Like, they kind of don't have that many moves. It feels like they were going to have a lot of shit, but... Like, the very first one I did is, like, you can use your shock power to turn on or off batteries on the ceiling, and it lifts platforms and lowers platforms, and you can do platforming with that. It's very clever. And then none of the others, like, there's not more mechanics like that. It's like, well, here's a switch that rotates a room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just stuff from the main game they rehash in these puzzle segments.
Right. Like, even that magnet thing on the ceiling is from the main game. They just expanded it more in that side dungeon.
Yeah, it'd be nice if... And a lot of them are really slow, too, because it's like, do a really long animation to turn this room. I'm like, why?
Yeah, it's one of... In the main story, because I'll cop to it, I didn't do a single one of the side things because that was more gameplay, as much as the upgrades for the shotgun and other things sounded really appealing. I gave up on this game. I gave up on enjoying engaging with the combat and the platforming and the puzzles of this game. I think the world building's really cool. I think this version of BioShock is super neat. I appreciate it almost comes off as satire, but I don't think it's intentional that the opening's like, we're on a city in the sky. We couldn't afford to make a whole game out of that. We're going to land.
underground for 2 hours.
Right. It's almost brilliant in how much it is the most compromised version of a BioShock like grandeur. But I gave up on that. It just, everything about engaging with the game was disappointing from there. But in the main story, engaging with the magnetic platforms and planes that you use the electricity to change the polarity of, even by the time they're like, okay, you're used to it, we're going to do the big room now. And I'm like, okay, this is neat. I'm looking my way around the room. I'm going to platform to the, oh, I got all the way to the end. That was neat. And then they're like, oh, the door won't open. There's a switch somewhere in these platforms. And then I look and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to redo 2/3 of the platforming in this room. No, 100% actually, because I have to land and walk over to, oh, so I know the solution. I'm just gonna have to slowly go through the steps again just to get back here. Hey, this sucks.
Yeah, it was weird when it became Portal.
Yes, that's exactly what it does.
I never had Portal feel like that though, even two. No. Like, it just, they felt like more instantly, if you know what to do, you can do it quickly. Where this is, if you know what to do, it will take you at least half a fucking minute of straight nailing, like the second it's available, these steps and jumping, because, you know, you had to go back, reveal the false wall by changing the polarity to see the thing to make it unlock the door and then platform back. On paper, that should be fine and fun and whatever, but the... Maybe it is because I just came from a platforming segment that shouldn't have been as hard as the game made it because of all the glitches and two robots ganging up on me in a dark underground tunnel. But I was just exhausted at that point.
I mean, it's platforming in this game, which is the worst aspect of this game. So there's no world in which a portal they make with that is good.
Right, of course.
Oh, I just realized, since Dan didn't do any optional dungeons, he never met Loot Box Head.
No, I've never seen Loot Box Head. What the fuck is Loot Box Head?
Oh my god.
I think his actual name is Comrade Lootyagin.
Yep, Lootyagin.
He is like a robot with a golden robot with a golden crate for a head. That gives you the blueprints from those testing grounds, the specific ones that will list if you hover over it on the map, like the three poorly important ones.
But he's not just gold. Like, you remember the Dracula movie where he has the really weird muscle armor?
Yeah, Bram Stoker's Dracula, yeah.
Yeah, imagine a robot, like, made out of that, but it's silver or gold.
Ooh.
Yeah, they have them locked up, and they're always... like have a rollerball leg that's going and trying to leave, but it's like above the ground, so it can't.
Yeah, they're holding it up by its giant head.
Mm-hmm. It made me think how this was almost certainly a cut thing where you chase this. Like, there's no way it was anything else.
This game, like, it's like looking at a jigsaw puzzle that has like 70% of the pieces removed,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to figure out what the fuck this game was supposed to be before they had to cut all of it and turn it into like a BioShock knockoff.
Yeah, it really is a murder mystery of a partial jigsaw puzzle.
Because this was a Kickstarter game, right?
No, this is a big budget game. Million quotation marks.
Oh, I thought this started out as a Kickstarter thing.
I do not believe so.
I don't think so. I don't know for sure though.
No, it has not.
Okay.
It is, you know, one of the more positive aspects of this that make you come in expecting a different level of polish, I feel, is the art design and the polish on a lot of the animations and character models, where you just expect this to be like the absolute peak AAA shooter. You expect this to be rock solid, and then you play the game and platforming is miserable, and you get stuck in geometry nonstop and all these other things. It really is deceptive in that way. It feels almost nostalgic for 7th gen.
Yeah, it's got a lot of really great art design and interesting stuff, but then they made like 3 corpse models they used throughout the entire game.
Uh-huh.
Which is just unsettling. There's one dead soldier that we see, and there's 3,000 of him across this world. Same
Bob
with the civilians.
Really hard to not say commie bastard.
Yeah, that's what Bob was reaching for. In today's Gigaboot spoiler cast, will Bob say it? Somehow this gets the most views of anything ever. Everyone's confused. It's the first podcast Bob curses.
But yeah, there is that weird, it's a weird side-by-side of stuff that feels really like older open world cookie cutter and stuff that's immaculately singularly designed.
Mm-hmm.
And some stuff that's maybe a little overly designed. Some stuff that looks like it had 70% of the animation budget. Some stuff that, you know, like when you see an artist draw a thing like non-pornography for the first time and you go,
why is there so much foot detail in this random image?
Are you trying to say something about the 7-foot tall twin robots?
Oh my god.
I'm
just I sat in my living room going, why is this scene this horny?
Yeah, it goes on for like minutes.
They sold some fucking copies from those characters.
Yeah, they did.
Because I'm like, what? I was genuinely stunned watching it because I was like watching people respond to those characters. I'm like, really, guys? Come on.
I don't want to talk about crazy people all that much, but yeah, I saw some people who are like, why doesn't Sony have sexual women like this in their video games? And they put Celine from Returnal in this image, and I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, what, in her late 40s or 50s? It's like, why isn't she a 7-foot tall buxom robot lady? Because that would be insane.
I mean, tell me you wouldn't play Returnal as a 7-foot tall robot lady.
No, I would.
No. Let me be clear. The hornier a video game is, the funnier and more interesting that usually is for me. Unless it's in the dialogue, in which case it makes me want to claw my way out of a room. I thought it was... I was deeply fascinated by how weird that shifted the tone of these cutscenes, that it's like, oh, okay, the game seems knowingly aware of how weird this is, and it is a part of the plot, but also maybe that's a writer thing coming around to, I have to write around that. All right, here we go.
And they're cutscenes too.
Mm-hmm.
They're like cutscenes.
Yeah.
They started happening, and I'm like, when's the last time I saw a fucking cutscene?
Yeah, it's really strange. The cutscenes look really immaculate. I'm pretty sure they're real time, too, because on my PC, they were running weirdly smooth, which just gave them an almost, I believe it's called Hunt the Free Man energy. It's really weird to play a first-person shooter that just goes, okay, fuck it, we're doing a cutscene. You're watching a movie now. That is you. And I'm just like, well, thank you. You can do things now that you can't do in the first person.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like it happened the first time halfway through the game or so.
Yes, it feels like, I think the first cutscene is when you kill, well, not when you kill, when you get to the end of the science exhibit and then you black out and you wake up around surrounded by bodies. It's like, what happened? I don't know.
I guess the robots got in.
Aw, crispy fucking critters.
I was standing near 6 people and then blacked out and had a bizarre hallucination. I woke up covered in blood, surrounded by bodies. Good thing the robots didn't get me.
So it's at this point I'm going to go ahead and say we're going full into spoilers. And I'm going to go ahead and say one of the things that really saves this game's writing for me is that the main character is stupid as hell.
Mm-hmm.
If the game at any point was like, what a brilliant twist, I think I would have revolted.
I think the twist almost is brilliant.
No, I like the turns and stuff in it, but if they tried to get me to sign up for the main character's blown and the wind take it out of his sails, all because of this moment that shook him and you, the player, to your core, I would have been like, come on, guys, seriously, is that what we're doing? But the fact that my character, this main dude, P3, is as dumb as a bag of bricks the whole game is one of the most endearing aspects for this. I cannot actually at any level relate to, because there was a clip out there of a streamer who heard him say something like, take that, gearhead, and just quit playing. I'm like, no, that is this character and I enjoy the hell out of it. And they're like, we need to go back to Cyan the protagonist. And I'm like, no, you, okay, now I'm mad.
Yeah.
This is maybe like the least offensive protagonist that never shuts the fuck up in years.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, he's fucking stupid. Two, Crispy Critters really is an endearing catchphrase. I don't know why it works as well as it does, but it does.
The weirdest part is that's a cereal that was made for a few years there. So it's like if this dude's catchphrase was Cookie Crisp.
That would also work.
Yeah.
No, that would be absolutely great. You know how wines have like complimentary companion tastes, right? Like, oh, you know, this, if you're gonna have like fish, you know, maybe try a wine like this. Well, imagine if instead of pairing it with foods, they paired it with a drastically better wine, and now you understand the relationship between Forspoken and Atomic Heart, two games basically about the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's weird how much Atomic Heart just beats the shit out of Forspoken in terms of dumb protagonist, British glove.
Yeah, that does this dynamic well, which is weird after Forspoken right before it. It just doesn't feel natural.
It works so well because the glove is, you think, obligated to be nice to him, and then it turns out he's gaslighting him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you think the glove is obligated to be nice, so the protagonist can just be a stupid, abrasive dipshit, and the glove has to play along. Which helps a lot, so they're not. It's not like you're watching the world's shittiest married couple.
Yeah, there's. It's really stunning to see it nail that relationship and twist.
Yeah, I love every time the glove just slowly explains these lore revelations to the main character,
and then his like emotional response is basically to do a jacking off motion and go duh.
Yes, he keeps thinking, no, I understand. It's like, no, you don't. Let me go through these events again. Maybe then you will.
I mean, half the dialogue with P3 in the game to the glove is him going, Papa wouldn't do that.
Yes. I just started thinking at some point of the glove as the Great Gazoo, and he's just like, okay, dum-dum.
the glove is one of those guys on the internet who's really fucking into Socrates. He's like, I too will guide them to the truth by asking them questions in place of answers.
This obvious red flag won't stop me because I have amnesia.
Put that shit on the box.
I did really enjoy at the end, because I assume everybody saw both endings.
Yeah.
I saw one and read about the other.
Which one did you read about, Aggro?
I ain't bitch, mate. I went and shot that guy.
Okay. But because I was like, the glove does feel like it's fucking with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great that, like, no, you were supposed to feel that. They didn't just write it wrong.
Yeah, this well nails having two very different endings, except for the part where one of them has absolutely no gameplay after the decision, unlike every Infamous game, where it's just like, and now you're just the most evil version of yourself. This character is true to himself in both versions, right? He's very believable as taking either course of action. And so the part where he just goes, I'm fucking done with this, bye. It's like, yeah, that should be the canon ending. Let's be real.
God, having that be a timed decision sucked.
Mm-hmm.
That was really funny.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was good choice. It sucked.
Yeah, it's really good because the dialogue itself actually plays into that because of how much they're just nagging the main character.
It's really weird that this is a game with a choice for things. but it's one choice at the very end. It's very Seventh Gen.
Oh, yeah. 100%. This seems like some weird satirical, like, looking at it, it appears to be satire, a piece of art representing all that was Seventh Gen hubris. It has a completely dysfunctional open world. It has the ending choice system, and it has all these elements that just don't seem to come together.
It has bad first-person shooter melee.
Mm-hmm. It had bad platforming.
Yeah, it's got it all. And then it's got some real thought-provoking puzzles, which, you know, for a bit there, the puzzles were the only part I was enjoying. Like, they, you know, they don't use pipe dreams. They have different ways to hack open a door.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those were, like, kinetically really enjoyable to do.
Yeah, don't play this game on the Xbox One ever.
Oh.
It made those puzzles even bad because there's so much, like,
latency, or
there's latency, and it just runs so bad that it's hard to time up those really basic timing things.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you about the nightmare I trapped myself in.
Okay.
So I was in one of those dungeons, you know, the optional things. And I came out in a completely different place into the overworld. And on the overworld, there was like a high fence in a tight square with some boxes up stacked so you can platform up and then jump in. So I did that and I looted everything in there. To get back out, you had to do one of those. You had to do one of the color locks, which, listener, imagine like 8 points in a circle. And you have to move 3 colored dots to match up to colored dots on the outside perimeter. And there's only certain things you can do that are, it's a fucking puzzle. I had to do that while being under constant assault from the endlessly rebuilding enemies.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I got tagged, it took me out. And I have nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemies just, I have no idea why they've been like, they send a drone to repair the robots when you destroy them. Why can't they just respond when I'm not there?
Yeah, everything about the open world, it seems designed to make it worth to play. Like, they have a danger level you can increase. It's like a star system in GTA that makes them spawn more robots and more quickly respawn currently active robots. And it's just a nightmare.
Unless you go out of your way to find the thing, to open the thing, to go do the thing to shut it down for an unknown amount of time.
Yeah,
and this is all using a map system that you cannot set waypoints. There is no mini map. There is no compass. It's just, here you go, open this map and guess.
And actually, like, hovering over something on the map, they have, like, 1 pixel hitboxes, even though the graphic on the map is larger. So it'll be like, no, I'm going over this camera. Realize that I'm going over this camera and let me select it. And they're like, no. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and, like, one of those, after you beat the game, you go to the title screen and you have the option to, like, go back in. I can't remember what it's called. So I did, and it dropped me off in, like, the first part of the open world, near Testing Ground 1. And I'm like, oh, that was the only one I wanted with the shotgun magazine upgrade. You know what? I'm just going to go do that real quick on principle. And the cameras were all still off.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't use them.
Yeah.
So...
Uh-huh.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a similar problem when I did the same thing.
Yeah, good fucking game.
It's a like, I read a couple threads where people are saying it's a bug, they're working on it.
Of course.
I mean, there were many bugs like that platform we all had to deal with where if you don't land in the exact right place, you just fall through the entire game world.
Sorry, played on PS5.
It didn't happen on PS5?
It never happened at all. I got partially into the floor one time, and that was on the melee-only boss, and it made him unable to hit me.
That part where you have to fix the mirror for the exhibition and you ride a circular elevator up at the end, you do not fall through that.
Nope.
On every other platform, you fall through it 100% of the time if you don't jump around the pipe and land directly on the center.
Which I might have done, I don't know.
Yeah, I also didn't encounter that, so I might have just done it on accident.
It took me 15 minutes to land properly on it because there's a pipe directly in the way of the door.
Uh-huh.
I had a habit of jump dashing everywhere I went for no reason.
I can name a reason. Not touching the ground that will eat you.
So,
or having a dash button.
Is there a run button in this game?
No.
That's what I thought.
No, you just...
I bought the upgrade to move faster, and I don't think it did anything.
No,
you move faster. Yeah. It's just not faster enough, which is weird. It has a speed ramp that both up and down that feels kind of weird, especially when a lot of elements of this game kind of steer you towards, at very least visually and audio-wise, hey, I'm trying to be some higher level thing like Doom Eternal or Doom 2016. It's like, yeah, but the speed ramp on this higher movement speed just makes this feel like shit. I don't know why you're doing this right now.
It fucks with the camera every time you're standing still and start moving. It's a little off.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that upgrade specifically made me think, well, maybe I can check the tutorials or the move list to see how to like run. But you can't look at those in this game. Like the console version, there is no way to just look at a diagram of what the controller does. Like the buttons.
Oh my.
And there's also no way to open up the tutorial menus that have already been closed.
I mean, I spent most of this game not knowing how to attach a cartridge.
Uh-huh.
Because on PC, you never need to use the weapon wheel. Because you just push the number keys for the weapons you want. Or use the mouse scroll.
Right.
I had to be like, hey, Bob, how am I actually supposed to put this in? I feel like they didn't actually tell me. And you're like, pull up the weapon wheel. I'm like, pull up the what?
Yeah, even I didn't, like, the game doesn't properly communicate it. I asked Aggro on a podcast.
See, it's like Dark
it's
Souls.
It's obtuse as shit.
Dark Souls is not this obtuse.
That's all I use the weapon wheel for, too, because on console you can just hit the arrow keys and it'll swap between an on-screen
list.
Oh,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, funniest thing I did in this game. You know how the mustachioed and black mustachioed androids just come out of closets?
Yeah.
I did one melee on one of them and knocked him back in. And the door closed because it was certain he got out in time. So then his arm just keeps coming out trying to hit me through the door. And I'm like, nope, sorry, bud. You're trapped in Atomic Heart. And then I walked away.
Doors are great in this game because sometimes they're bars that block all bullets. And sometimes they have windows where the glass isn't real, but the little flying robots act like it is, so you can just shoot them.
Oh my God.
All I can think of is near the end of this game, you do that thing we talked about earlier where you run across a highway with all the red monsters chasing you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to a hospital. And of course you don't kill the red monster. He just sits outside yelling and swinging his arms through the wall and hitting you sometimes.
Oh yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah.
It's awful.
You know how you can really tell that they ran out of time on this game? It's like you go a really long time, you play a bunch of shit, and then you fight that big robot, you know, the land tending robot that was established like 2 hours prior.
Mm-hmm.
The big round one that rolls around.
Oh yeah.
But then you get into the back end of the game and it's like you fight like three within an hour time span. Just big different robots. And then the glove talks about military robots of which you never see. It's like you thought that was tough. Those military robots are badass, and then you never see
them. P3 should have been like, military robots are legend. They're not real.
Don't you fight one?
No, none of them are actually... They all have weapons because the plot point is that they're all supposed to be combat capable.
Yeah, I thought the one in the theater was supposed to be legitimately a military robot. Maybe
I
not.
I think that one is. I think that's the singular one. Because he even has the dialogue about, like, wait a second, what was that about? Why was there a military robot at the theater?
I think they were just talking about it having the weapons, because that's when it's like, no, dumbass, they all have weapons because the plan was to turn them on and take over America. They all have weapons built into them.
Papa wouldn't do that.
Certainly not.
It's okay, you'd only kill the soldiers.
I do really like the plot element of, like, the United States fucking hates these robots, but where they keep importing them so they can use them to crush labor.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that this game's message is like, did you know through all systems, everything sucks?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm starting to piece that together by my 30s.
Speaking of giant robots, I love how, like, you've got that big projector-headed gorilla-shaped one that they show you in the opening, and then one attacks you in the inciting robot uprising, and Granny Xena's house demolishes it. And then hours later in the game, you know, you fight one and like, oh no, it's one of those things. And the glove's like, you can do it. You have all these weapons and upgrades now. And I'm like, glove, 15 minutes ago, you watched me fight two of these things at the end of a testing ground.
Yeah. Not canon.
Yeah. I had that moment told me the game was about to end. I wasn't sure until then. I was like, wait, I'm supposed to be super powerful. All I have is a pistol, a shotgun, and then one extra electrical weapon.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I had to roll the whole game with because I never got any of the other fucking weapon schematics.
Oh my God.
I got the AK sort of near the end of the game, I guess like within like 2 hours of the end of the game. And that's when I went, my plan of upgrading my skill early on where I get a heal over time from even the smallest heal capsule is going to work out. So I scrapped every medium and large size heal capsule I had and fully upgraded the AK on the spot. Went, oh, good. Finally a second viable weapon in this fucking video game.
Oh, man, that's that explains why I seem to enjoy the combat a little more than the rest of
what
you.
What $10 million did you get, Mr. Roguelike?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So yeah, I had the Makarov, which man, upgrading that thing makes it rule. The Makarov and the shotgun and the little electro pistol. I also got the Dominator, which is another like higher tier energy weapon that sucked and I hated using it.
I got that and fully upgraded it. It became okay.
Yeah, no, I scrapped it. Like the electro was just better for the amount of energy.
Yeah, that little electro gun is surprisingly good, especially if you put the EMP feature on it, which just mm-hmm. kills things.
Yeah, no, it's fucking great.
Oh, here's a fucking thing about the game that's fucking stupid and sucks. You can upgrade your natural energy because it's like this weapon uses like your fucking biofield and the field of the glove. That's how the energy weapons work.
Mm-hmm.
You have like 3 bars at the bottom. You can upgrade that to 5 bars. But they don't fucking fill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to hit melee attack enemies to fill it above the 3 bars.
Yep. It sucks.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They're like, please use our melee system. No.
And I'm like, no, I have guns.
Yeah, I basically didn't engage with it until it forced me to by having that red monster thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh.
I'm like, good thing I just found the recipe for the pastet. Which is the fastest melee weapon in the game.
Is that the thing that looks like a machete?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I started using too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was really hoping I would get to experience more things in this game weapon-wise, but it didn't drop anything.
I got all the melee weapons. I got the Kalashnikov. I got the Fat Boy, the rocket launcher. I got the rail gun.
Yeah. I can't wait to play this game again in 12 months from now when it's maybe something approaching done.
Yeah, when they patched in, give the player the weapons.
Don't worry, I got the rocket launcher in the final room of the game, so I couldn't build it.
That's really cool.
I cannot get over, like, it really drove me up a fucking wall how I would open chests and open chests and open chests and go, here's a blueprint for something you already have. And it's like, why can that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea what the hell's wrong with them.
I saw people online being like, it encourages exploration. I'm like,
go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
No, encourage and require are two different words, guys.
Also, again, I explored a lot. That doesn't help the insane way you made this thing where you have to get lucky and you can only get lucky at specific phases of the moon.
Yeah, the bulk of your weapons list should not be at the mercy of the RNG. This is basic shit, guys.
Yeah, it genuinely brought the experience of the Dawn of Sorrow luck system not working at all to a AAA first-person shooter. I brought this up on Big Think, but I'll repeat this anecdote here because, of course, it bears repeating. I was genuinely enjoying the cartoons until I brought that up on Big Think. And Chris, I believe, brought up, yeah, there was a racist one in there they patched out. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, because they're just cartoons from the Soviet era. So, of course, you know, shit from the 60s.
See, I thought it was a... Through the temporal AA, even on PC, it looked smudgy enough where I was like, maybe this is a really good facsimile of one of those. Maybe they had a decent budget for some animators. No, it's just old, and of course, since it's old animation, racist, apparently. I did not see that one, luckily, I guess. But yeah, it was just neat that shit was lying around. It is yet another aspect of this game where it's like, look at this weird ambition, this weird scale of this game that is not pieced together correctly.
I cannot get over the fact that you guys just didn't have most of the arsenal in this game. That's like, by the end of the game, I had all these weapons, so I had to start making really interesting decisions about inventory space.
God, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this.
Like, I had to make room for the weapons, and then they each had separate ammo types.
Mm-hmm.
And because they had separate ammo types, I felt more free to mag dump into robots because I waste all my Makarov ammo. I've got Kalash ammo. It's fine.
Of course, since I drive a Camaro, there's not a lot of space, so I got to figure out how to fit both of my 7-foot-tall robot wives in there.
If you make a game where random chance can be the difference between being a 5 and an 8, it's a 5. The 8 doesn't count if the 5 is possible.
Yeah, it's really strange because, I really wasn't buying into your bullshit of this game is fine on my platform, but now I'm starting to believe it. But since this game's on Game Pass, a number of people who might have bought it on PlayStation 5, specifically me. Played it for $1 on Game Pass because why wouldn't we on a game, like, why wouldn't I on a game that I'm not entirely sold on out of the gate? Like, when I hear this game is a BioShock, like, I don't sit there and think I'm going to drop 70 day one. That is, unless, of course, it's named Judas.
Of course. I can't wait to compare Judas to this.
Oh, it's going to be so good. It's going to be even better than comparing Forspoken with this. I've said it again and again. I want to say it one more time, and I'll probably end up saying it yet again in my summary at the end. But the world they weave is very interesting and very neat, with the polymer super juicing science for years and years, and somehow making, Yuri Gagarin born 10 years earlier, or either that or the first cosmonaut at 17.
Holy shit.
Not sure which of those the polymer did, but it did one of them.
He was still the most able-bodied man, even at 17.
Even at 17, he's just this absolute Chad. It's really interesting. And a lot of the art design is really cool. And the animations with the glove are fantastic. And the idea of what this game is going for, which seems kind of topical with the direction we're taking with AI and other things, you know, our general march towards machines being facilitated to rob us of our, you know, individuality or whatever. It's interesting to engage with in this game. I really wish there was like a completely different video game that could have had this plot and setting and everything, because it just does not come together for me. Also, it's fucking hilarious when they call the city at the beginning the castle in the sky, and that it is literally a flying city, and I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, there is that element of the story. I'm like, wait, how's the United States competing with this at all?
Well, they have something called Dollimers. They're really similar to the polymers.
I see, this makes sense. Yeah, I hope Judas has a really interesting world. Based on the trailer, I'm not sure that it will, but
it's going to be 10 rooms on a space station.
Yeah, we'll see when we get there.
Atomic Heart has what I consider to be a high bar and achievement in video games, where it has an extended dream sequence in a first-person game that doesn't make me want to sigh myself into a coma.
Yeah.
Like, it was actually interesting in both design and mechanics.
And you were wearing a bunny suit.
And I got all those apples, I think, but it didn't ping a trophy. Yes. And then I was really mad.
There is an achievement for that, because I got it.
So then I missed one fucking apple after spending so long getting thrown off that goddamn submarine.
I don't think you even have to get them all. I think they're spares, so you might have just completely missed like a little side area that had just enough to push you over.
So I was playing on PC, but I was using Game Pass to play on PC. I was yet again playing with fire. So when I realized I've passed up some of these apples, I bet there's an achievement for getting them all. I had two layers of not giving a shit because it wasn't a trophy, which kind of does something for me. It wasn't even a Steam achievement that sort of does something for me. It was an Xbox achievement for playing on PC.
And probably goes across platform, but I don't know.
My brain just it completely neutered the chemical response and I went, that's fine. I passed up some apples, whatever. We'll just leave. It'll be okay.
Oh my God, the beds in that first dream, the ones that bounce you up high, did those like work on any other platform?
Yeah.
I mean, they work. Like, they felt bad, but I assume that was deliberate.
Like, you went high, but then you couldn't control anything or the direction in which you went or at what point of walking into the bed you would jump.
You have to air control. You have no air control, so you have to like
really
set
aim
your
it.
Trajectory. Yeah, you have to not only really aim it, but it like magnifies your forward momentum a certain amount. Like you keep the exact amount of forward momentum you have and cannot change it. So it's like, okay, I'm gonna jump, but only at like half speed. Because that'll pounce me up to the higher one. It feels like shit, like all the platforming.
It genuinely felt like the most. You were inspired by the very best of microcomputer platformers when you thought this one up.
You know, that first stream was neat. I feel like the second one, at least for me, was terrible.
The submarine one or whatever?
The one that has a lot of like medical facility stuff you walk around.
Yeah, that one sucks.
Yeah, there's a bunch of like, I don't know where you want me to go. There are like 12 different paths and they seem somewhat viable. Like things are climbable near them, but apparently they're completely the wrong direction.
I only had that moment at one point.
I ended up trying different directions this one point, like for 20 minutes.
Wow. No, I never had that problem in that one. See, I like that one because it went smoothly for me with all of its weird perception shifting and position jumping and terrain changing.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed that one too. I did have that slight problem. Specifically, it's at the point where you have to like shimmy around the corner of a building or a pillar, right?
Yeah.
And there's a rail that horizontally goes across it and you're supposed to know to look sort of up and to the right and do a jump there.
Right. I think I was at the same pillar, but there's another pillar you can jump to from there, which they don't want you to go to at all. And I was convinced that that's where you go, and you can climb on it, but then you have nowhere to go from there.
See, I jumped down and to the right and went exactly one floor below where I was supposed to figure out to go, and that just took me a couple of minutes to figure out from there because it reset me, and I had to redo the platforming again. But I actually enjoyed that one. As a quick note to things in the world I really enjoy, weird post-mortem polymer brain. Like the fact you can talk to these corpses and they're still aware but not alive. The fact their brains still have this residual polymer memory thing is really cool. Those were some of the funniest conversations in the game. I was really sad though when one of them's just like, and I have to stare at this bastard for the rest of time, and it's one of the non-aggressive robots. I specifically pissed off that robot so I could kill it. And then I talked to him again and he said the same line. And I'm like, oh, I tried to make the world a better place for one man. Nothing. But I thought that was a really interesting element. It's almost like a way of, and this is going to sound really kind of pretentious. It's almost like a revolution of the concept of audio drops.
Yeah, in a game that's filled with audio drops.
With audio drops.
Oh, yeah. And they're like, audio drops aren't enough, even though we have so many. There's also emails you can read.
I didn't read a single email. Maybe one.
I read a bunch of emails. I find that kind of shit interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting. I read it for a bit. At a certain point, I dropped off, though, because I feel like there was the later you got in the game, the less interesting they were, weirdly enough.
It's one of those things where it's like there's, when you have so much, I'm encouraged not to engage with any of it.
Mm.
It felt like there was one of those monitors with five different emails in every two rooms. I'm like, I want to play the game. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
After the first area, I just pick one at random every 15, 20 minutes.
You know, I took a lot of notes for this game until I finished the Vavilov complex, and then I stopped entirely because I'm like, the rest of this is pretty easy to remember. I've already situated myself in the world, but Vavilov complex is when it stops feeling like a normal, straightforward BioShock. You know, you're going to the different medical wings, which were kind of like the parts of Rapture where you're visiting to see what horrible monstrosity, hubris, and technology has wrought. And then you go to the open world. It's like, yeah, these assholes are hanging out in a hospital. Go kill them.
Yeah. I started liking the game more after we got past that initial facility, which was intensely BioShock and had like
an
audio drop log every room.
Yeah.
I felt like they leaned back off that a little bit, and it made it more enjoyable to me afterwards.
Yeah, that's totally understandable. I actually liked it possibly a bit more at the Vavilov complex, but I was so exhausted by that platforming segment with the giant drill dozer or whatever the hell that thing was called, because that was one of the platforming segments that just did not work right for me for whatever reason. You know, maybe platforms don't exist at 144 frames per second. I don't know. I don't pretend to know.
Don't worry. I did that part on the 1X. So the platforms don't exist too well between 20 and 30 frames per second either.
Okay, there we go. It's the two extremes. You can't go to them. One of the interesting things in this game is that the audio logs will literally pause for you to do normal dialogue and then resume afterwards.
Yeah, that's great. That's done better than I've seen in any other game.
The reverse is not true.
Oh, no.
If you're talking and you accidentally, I'm playing on PC, hit G to listen to an audio log, you're done saying whatever the fuck you were saying.
Weird.
That conversation's fucking gone now. You're listening to an audio log. Not everyone has invented the Uncharted 4 system of, what was I saying? Oh, yeah.
The system of record way too much. Feel like you record too much. That's still not enough.
Yeah, this game definitely has an insane amount of audio.
Mm-hmm.
That much is certain. You know, they got to get out all these lines our main character says, like, crispy critters, fuck me, or fuck me running, shit on a shingle. You know, he just has so many, and that's what makes him probably the best character of the year. Look forward to our Game of the Year ceremony.
I did really like that in some places the audio logs and emails have like little stories about specific people. Like the dude who was pathetically in love with one of the mannequin robots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you just find him dead because of course you do.
Yeah, I'm surprised how few people are living in this world. Like it feels like everyone you find is already dead except for one dude in that an opening thing.
And then he dies.
I'm trying to remember he's
the one who's trying to steal the plant creature and then he dies. Yes, of course.
Oh, that, yeah.
Well, that just shows the superior Soviet engineering of the robots. They just slaughtered everybody.
Yeah, they didn't miss even one.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to survive when like literally like everybody around you just turns into kill mode, and also they have lasers in their face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, good Christ.
I was thinking about this and how most video games, honestly, are you going through dead places where people aren't and haven't been for a while and everything's destroyed and ruined. And it's kind of one of those background radiation of the medium things and how like the opening super BioShocky segment of this, we are going through the town and, oh, there's a parade. I was like, this might be the most alive and lived in feeling city walkthrough segment I've done in a video game.
Yeah. So that made it a little weird when everyone was dead after that, which I want to make a counterpoint. I think that's distinctly a seventh gen thing. Like, if you look at the PS2 era of video games, or you look after that at the PS4 era, worlds were more alive in PS2 era by being hyper-scripted, and PS4 era by most things transitioning to being open worlds. That this comes off to me, at very least, like the very distinct 7th-gen vibes of, well, everyone's dead because you're in Rapture. Everyone important will be a boss or some sort of thing. You do not talk to people on the way to a thing, which, once again, I thought that was really interesting, that the way to make the world more alive is by having the world, the corpses talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting solution, at very least.
I love how P3 is just not at all interested in the implications of that happening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're just like, I'm dead, but I'm still alive. He's like, sucks to be you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. That's what makes him so great as a protagonist in this setting. You could have stuck him in many other games and it would have been like, this Jughead's fucking annoying, I feel like. But in this setting, he's perfect because it's like, yeah, the polymer makes their brains stay alive so they can perceive that they're dead, but they're not really aware of it, but they seem to be stuck and they're getting increasing amounts of tunnel vision and their brain is rotting. And he just goes, yeah, that's pretty creepy. That's his only thoughts. His only thoughts is, oh, corpse is talking. That's freaky, dude.
It's weird how accurate this is to every Jarhead I've ever met.
Yeah.
Where he's like, yeah, I mean, I'll kill people. Like, he has compassion, but is completely unequipped to express it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's like, he feels bad for these people, but he can't muster more than, man, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I like him more than any BioShock protagonist by a lot.
Well, two of them are completely silent ciphers, and one of them is Troy Baker being a racist, so there's not a strong competitive field.
No, that's true.
But their violence is also wrong, said history's greatest killer.
Dude, like, near the end of the game, he finally, like, activates and becomes involved in the plot, but he doesn't really have a handle on what's happening.
Yeah.
So he can, like, the comedic timing brilliance of the scene where you finish fighting the twins and then just walk over and shoot Sechenov in the gut.
Yeah. No, that was hilarious.
No interrogation. No big Shakespearean confrontation. He just guts him. And Sechenov's like, oh, you dumb son of a bitch.
Yeah, during that battle when Sechenov's just sitting there, he's like, they're not attacking you, my boy. They're attacking your glove. I'm like, Jesus Christ, they're beating me to death.
Man, I was convinced there was some other thing to do in that battle. Because there's even lines of, like, you need to stop, you should look for something.
Uh-huh.
And there's just nothing else to do. It's really weird.
Huh. I was too busy firing off rockets on my sick-ass railgun.
Maybe if Bob had those, he would have not been so distracted by the dialogue. I also want to point out, having a horny Coke machine, like a Coke fridge, be your upgrade station is absolutely hilarious. That is one of the funniest upgrade stations in a video game because the main character is not interested.
Mm-hmm. I found it so weird that, like, only maybe 20% have the crazy Coke machine going. Yeah, the rest are just normal.
Yeah, there's an air gap. For some reason, it just, the horny Coke fridge just shuts down for maybe 50% of the game. It's really weird. It's almost like
the game isn't done.
I'm convinced that's a bug because it feels like you go into one place where the fridge is not the same fridge, like it's connected to a different node or whatever.
Right.
And then it feels like, at least to me, it feels like that just never was supposed to turn off when you left and didn't.
Oh my god, maybe. Because the one in Auntie Granny or whatever's...
Granny Xena, yeah.
Yeah, Granny Xena's airship.
Auntie Granny? Is this a new horrible New Zealand comedy group?
Yes.
Auntie Granny is fun. Anyways, what are you...
But yeah, hers is not supposed to be connected to the network. It is different. And then after that, I think Chris is right. I don't think it goes back to the regular one until, like, a story event. That's weird.
Yeah, the Coke fridge stays silent for a huge chunk of this game. It's very bizarre. I like that character. It's weird when their body shows up and their spirit is gone.
Did anybody else have a problem with this game being unreasonably dark?
You mean on a literal brightness level, right?
Yes.
No, but I turn every game up by default because my eyes are bad.
One of the first things I did was go in to check the brightness. I'm like, I can bump it by 2, whatever that means. And okay, that helped a little, but I still found myself having to do the scanning thing over and over just to get the dimensions of a room I was in.
I did have that problem, but I'm on PC. Do you know what PC HDR feels like? That shit just doesn't work
cataracts?
Right compared to a new console. Yes, basically. So I had the same experience as you in HDR, but I basically gave up on HDR after it just didn't work right the first time. So I played 95% of my playthrough in SDR on my 1440p, 144 hertz. Bob, you played on an OLED from a console.
I did not have any issues like that. It was all pretty viewable.
Man.
Yeah, I didn't have viewability problems. Like, the only time I had to use the scan was whenever those fucking plant things came up, and I'm like, where's the thing spitting them out? It has to die. It has to die now.
Yeah, that's smart.
Oh, man. To the game's combat design credit, there were some great, I can't remember what they call the things that spit out the plant things. I just kept calling them mothers, and then I kept calling them motherfuckers. It was great how in some rooms, like, there's one early on in the big mall area, where you go in and like everything's chill, and then they activate and start spitting the plants out. I'm like, oh, there's just some plants, and then they start waking corpses up, and you're like, oh shit. The way it leans into target prioritization when you're in a combat room is a whole lot of fun, because there's certain large areas where shit's coming at you, and you're like, nope, you just gotta duck and run around it, and then run over and take out all of those spawners first.
Yeah. I thought that was one of the more functioning levels of combat design in this for me, where was this moment of, that guy behind me is just going to stay on my ass the whole time while I try to run around and kill all these spawners, because I am not fighting him while these spores keep popping up corpses.
Yeah, the room where they spawn a bunch of those with the red creature. What a pain. I did not turn the difficulty down. What a pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of parts of this game that are what a pain. Like, for example, the shit early on, it's like, stand on the slow-moving platform and use your electro thing on these batteries so the thing goes faster. So it charges the battery you're trying to charge faster. That was terrible. That's also where it soft-locked me, where I died, and it just would never load ever again.
No.
And I had to go back to a manual save from like 5 minutes prior. And then there's stuff like, you gotta turn on the fans, then things are gonna try to go up and get sucked into the fans, so you better fucking run out there and kill all these zombies.
Yep. Sometimes this game, I mean, the game always swings, just sometimes it misses.
Yeah, sometimes design-wise, you hear the Charlie Brown-esque arg as it flies through the air and lands on its ass.
Which, like, this is, for a first game from this studio, this is exciting. Like, shit, show me the next one.
This took like 8 years, though, so don't get too excited.
And show me the next one.
Did it take 8 years?
This took a really long time. It was actually initially announced to feature ray tracing with the 2000 series of NVIDIA graphics cards.
I guess it took 5 years because it was announced in 2018, I guess.
To clarify why that's worth noting, this doesn't have ray tracing on any platform.
Well, they said they'd add it post-launch and then didn't offer any better details at all.
When will that be, Leaves?
Didn't they show it off with like gameplay in 2018? So they clearly have been working on it for a long time before that.
Yeah, they were also working on some VR game at the same time, so that it was a thing where they had split themselves.
Huh. But yeah, this actually Atomic Heart, the reason I even knew what it was is because it was one of the frontline games NVIDIA propped up to announce RTX as a concept, to announce a ray tracing finally hitting video games as a concept and DLSS. And they're like, hey guys, check it out. This game's going to look so good. Here are some images of the ray tracing working in this game. So this many years later, like 5 years later, for it to come out, it's like, it doesn't have the ray tracing. It's so weird because, frankly, it looks sick as shit with the ray tracing. Because, you know, we talked about that robot design that has the disco ball head almost, where it's the lights mm-hmm. that shoot out. That looks awesome.
I bet.
Too bad it's not real. That's a slight problem with that. Too bad it is not real.
There was a weird bit of genre subversion in this game where, like, you'd assume from all of the, you know, alternate science history and then the robots and the AI and the whatnot that this is a science fiction game. Mm-hmm. But it turns out, like in an early scene, the first time you meet Granny Xena, you know, you're attacked by robots and she pulls out a Kalashnikov and it jams, which is a jarring moment where you realize this game is a complete fantasy because there is no way the glorious AK platform rifle would ever suffer a combat malfunction.
You're right, Agro.
I fucking lost my mind. Just like opens the crate and pulls out the AK. I'm like, yeah, now we're ready to, what the fuck do you mean the most communist game ever is depicting an AK jamming?
It's these tiny story details that let you figure out the entire game's not real. Oh, man.
Was anyone else really disappointed with how the last like hour of this game went?
I wasn't disappointed. There's got to be some way to phrase this emotion. I was thrilled at each moment as I realized I was rocket sledding downhill towards the ending.
Yes, when you get that cutscene with the guy and his girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
and they have you strapped to the table, and after you finish that little segment, there's not even like a dungeon. You finish that little segment, and it's like, your next objective is 1,500 meters that way. There's like four areas with optional things, but no mandatory things. Just run past them like, oh, this is the end of the game. They ran out. We're at the point where we're money off.
You have that moment where it's just like, okay, there's this lighthouse.
Get it? There's a lighthouse in a Bioshock like it.
And it's like, okay, well, if you climb here and you can find out the truth. Oh, now we went to this rapturous place.
Yeah.
Now we're going to figure out the secrets. You're in the final boss battle. I'm like, wait, what's happened? What?
Yeah, I really expected a final like dungeon sort of thing. Not
right.
Just, we have teleported you to outside the final boss fight.
Yes, I expected, okay, what I expected was like the Wily Fortress almost. I expected the castle. We're going to mount the offensive against the castle because all the dialogue and all these things just make it seem really epic like that. And instead it's you walk in, do a preemptive boss fight, which feels weird that it wasn't the boss fight.
It feels like that one shouldn't even have been there. Like,
yeah,
they act like it didn't happen later.
It is very, very bizarre that happens. You ride an elevator and then you do the final boss fight, or as I describe it, that prior boss fight again times two.
Right?
Yeah. It is just phase two. There's just a weird gap.
Yeah, there's just a weird error gap in this phase two and a weird disconnect story-wise that just seems bizarre. I wasn't disappointed because I was thrilled at the sweet release of being done playing Atomic Heart.
That's fair.
But I did think it was strange that it wasn't this big moment of mounting an offensive on a compound. It really was just walking your ass in.
Yeah, and I thought that there'd be more would come of the story of Revelation instead of like, okay, it's over, it's sequel tease.
Yeah, the sequel. Dude, if you want to talk hyper specifically about the ending itself, that is awkward.
Mm-hmm.
There's just, to me, a tone of that ending where it's just like, and then these things happened, and then there was a sequel tease, the end, credits, where I'm just like, did that just happen? Once again, it feels like this is almost a satire of Seventh Gen.
Look, he gets up with like the big red polymer body, and I'm like, all right, now it's time, credits roll.
Yeah, yeah,
no, right. You can't show me that twice and not let me shoot it.
Yeah.
And that genuinely is something that happened multiple times in AAA 7th Gen video games.
Right, and I assume this will happen like every one of those in 7th Gen will never get a sequel.
Right. I mean, this game even has a name like a 7th Gen gimmick AAA yeah. shooter. Atomic Heart should have been there next to Dark Sector, Dark Void, all those others. It genuinely feels like a game out of its time with appropriate tech, which is the weirdest part, right? This isn't a situation like that one game we played late last year during Game of the Year, Bob, where it was like, this is just a 7th-gen game that runs well, that is like almost Eurojank.
Mm.
I can't remember the name of it because they mispronounced it in a way I could.
Elex 2?
Yeah, Elex 2. It's not like that. It looks technologically very modern, but it is so perfectly a 7th-gen game down to the ending that it is very bizarre. So, Bob, which one's the better fake open world game, this or Cameo? Because Cameo's almost like an Ocarina of Time situation where it's just a big Hyrule field.
Right. That might be better, honestly.
Yeah, it would have been kind of neat if there was just a giant flat plains open park connecting every end of this game.
Yeah, actually, that would be better than the roads and the awful mountains that don't work right.
Right. We haven't even described the laser walls that are just everywhere to keep you on this, like, highway going to the different ends of the game. It's very bizarre. What a bizarre creature. Well, we need to start wrapping this up. Are there any other anecdotes, musings, or thoughts people wanted to deposit here at the end of this podcast?
I've got a few random nitpicks I wanted to voice.
Sure.
There are button prompts in this game, and there are QTEs in this game, and sometimes the QTE wants you to hit the button, and sometimes the QTE wants you to mash the button, and there is no fucking visual difference between those two things.
Nope.
Yep.
And on PC, that button happens to be the letter E. And I don't know if anyone here has tried to bash the letter E, but that is a left-handed letter that seemingly should be your middle finger. It is not an easy thing to rapid mash, so every time that happened, I would just hit it once and go, oh, fuck, and swing my right hand over really fast.
It did the how to stealth kill an enemy tutorial, and I walked up behind it, and I pressed a button, and it went into a kill animation, and I was like, okay, yeah, that's how you do it. And then it gave me a button prompt, so I'm like, oh, circle. That circle. And that's what I noticed. It was filling a gauge when I hit circle. So I started to hold circle and it didn't do anything. And then I started to mat and it was already too late and I had failed the thing and the robot
exactly
turned around.
Exactly what happened.
Yeah. I think that was just them telling you, don't use the sales mechanic. Don't do it.
I want to ask you guys the single most absurd, this shouldn't have happened thing in this game for you personally. You don't have to vote for a unique one from me if you agree, but I posit it is the 20-second long QTE with the red monster. That is a thing that any human should have been able to look at and go, dude, no.
Yeah, I don't know how that made it into the game. Because I play in normal mode, every time I fought one of those, I caught by him at least 3 times in the fight.
Oh, no!
And just to be clear, dear listener, 20 seconds, it's not an exaggeration. This
no,
is not
it,
some,
it just fucking keeps going.
It really does keep going. There are multiple phases to it. It's doing a scary open mouth growl, like in your face thing for 20 seconds. It's a very bizarre part of this game that I feel like any person should have been able to look at and go, nah, that's not what that enemy does, because no enemy in no video game should ever do that.
Yeah, I would catch to the point where I'd rather he had a move that just instantly killed me.
Bob's like,
please just end it.
Thank you for reminding me of this. Thank you for reminding me of this. How come in those dream sequences, it can respawn you instantly, but if I die outside of them, it takes fucking 90 seconds?
That's the power of the bunny suit. P3 should have gotten the bunny suit for the rest of the game. Have his fuzzy
bunny loading mask.
He has the fucking fuzzy arm coming up and going, crispy fucking critters.
Yeah, I cannot stress enough. Do not play this on last gen. Just don't. You'd think the load time's bad on next gen consoles, on current gen consoles. It is at least twice as long on there. Nothing works right. You can open up the menu to upgrade your weapon and then be like, oh, that one's got a blueprint. Show me on the map where that is. And then the whole game just ceases working. It brings up the map without anything on it. like it's a blank screen with the map prompt at the top. You try and close that, and then you're just staring at the fridge, and you can't do anything.
Oof.
This is just basic using of menus made impossible with this version.
Yeah, the last gen version shouldn't be happening at this point.
No.
Yeah, that this game, despite the fact scope-wise it should fit into a last-gen envelope,
mm-hmm.
if you didn't prepare for that, do not ship it.
Yeah. Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
What button is it to do the scan on PC?
It is Alt.
Hmm.
What is it on PS5?
It's double-tapping R1.
That's also what it is on Xbox.
Yep.
That's really bizarre.
Yeah, so your loot, your pickup object with telekinesis button, double tap it, and then hold on the second.
Oh, yeah. That's the suck it up with your hand telekinesis thing is a F on PC.
Yeah, as soon as they told me to double tap that button, I'm like, oh, this is we made a PC game with a shit ton of functions and couldn't cram it onto a controller.
That is absolutely what happened here. I would like to note the gesture to do the scan being a putting an L out there is funny as shit. Because he just extends his index finger and his thumb in the shape of an L in front of him. And it makes the world glow. I'm like, this is good. I like this game.
It is a useful feature in this game, though. I really like the scan.
Yeah. It lets you know enemy weaknesses. It lets you know when a camera is staring straight at you.
Mm-hmm.
I hated that they didn't slow down the world or anything, so trying to scan an enemy while fighting him was just a pain.
Mm.
And also, that's why I liked it.
Yeah, like he doesn't, like you get the scan on him, and then it's like, yeah, I need to keep him in my sights to read that. Like you can't even pause it once I'm scanned.
Too late.
All right.
I did want to reiterate that every enemy being able to knock you down for 3 seconds blows.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. It's just bad design.
Mm-hmm. So you would say that's your version of the 20-second QTE with the red enemy, just no game should ship with the simplest thing can knock you on your ass for 3 seconds straight? Because it really is that long. It really is just your guy going, oh, man, and slowly getting back up.
I've got a shotgun that shoots lightning. I'm listening to Mick Gordon, and I can't control my fucking character because a Roomba stood up and threw a saw blade at me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've reached the end. It's time for our summary statements and our scores out of 10. We're going to go ahead and start with Dr. Agro.
Despite a lot of this having been ragging on this game, when Atomic Heart is executing on its vision, when this thing is humming, it's fucking great. But then the General Lee turns back down toward the Earth, and you realize it's not a ramp on the other side. It's a landfill. You're about to die. This game is so many gleaming moments lost in an oatmeal bowl of shit that just dragged the good things down. I cannot let this thing rise above a 6.
I'll go ahead and go next. Atomic Heart has, as I said before, a fantastic world that I really enjoyed all the sci-fi bits about. The alt history Russian setting with the ridiculous future technology was really, really interesting when it comes to undead zombies. We didn't even talk about the polymer tunnels through the air where you get to hear the memories and recollections of people at random. As you're swimming through, you hear conversations from the past, possibly your past, who knows. Super fascinating. The plot itself and our main character, really great and enjoyable. But I just completely lost all love for engaging with the game on a sheer mechanics level by the end, making this the exact inverse of Days Gone for me.
Mm.
And yet, weirdly, knocking at the same level, I'm going to give this a 3 out of 10. I genuinely could not recommend playing this to anyone unless you really need to see every possible, like you're Doctor Strange peering into every possibility of a Bioshock. That is the one endeavor I can understand absolutely go to this game. You need to see how in universe 10,003 a BioShock goes.
I've seen 437 million BioShock games. How many of them have fuckable robot ballerinas? One.
One. We go next to Chris Wolfart.
Yeah, this is pretty rough. I might be able to sit to stick it up higher if they gave you the weapons. If they gave me the weapons.
Jesus.
But I really did enjoy parts of it. I enjoyed the BioShockness of it all in the beginning until they kind of stopped, until they kind of ran out of that and it became a lot of weird, here's a room full of forklifts that are going in circles.
They're not a hazard anymore. We just kept putting them in the rooms.
It just fails on so many levels. And I probably would have been... Game Pass really does make people nicer to games. Because if I'd paid $70 for this, I would probably give it lower than what I am going to give it, which is $6.
Okay. And Bob.
Yeah, this is easily my favorite BioShock game. It's still got all the blemishes we talked about. I'm going to have to give it a 5. It's just hardly playable at points. But what's there, it's really nice sometimes. Like, I think of near the end of the game when it's just a bunch of combat rooms with Mick Gordon music that really was really good and it hits great.
Mm-hmm.
And the score keeps going up. And then that last hour of the game happens and it drops right back down.
I'm very excited for us to get to Judas whenever that game comes out, if that game comes out. and the possibility, I'm excited for the possibility of me going, yeah, I would trade getting stuck in the floor again for hearing my main character say something like crispy critters right about now. That gives this game a total of 20 points, giving it an average of 5 out of 10 from us. Thank you all for listening to the Atomic Heart spoiler cast review, because if you didn't, it all would have been for nothing.